From Matthew chapter 3. If you've got a Bible, you can look at the words that will be up on the screen. So we're going to look at the section that's got the title, The Baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Well, this morning it's been really lovely to be part of Imogen's dedication. Richard, thank you to Rebecca and yourselves for bringing Imogen along. Wasn't she so good for us this morning? Absolutely wonderful. I won't repeat that. I think you can tell what it said. Imogen, of course, is still young. She hasn't got much language, doesn't speak words the way we understand words. Though I think Richard and Rebecca would say there's plenty of communication going on. And as soon, of course, she will have those words, all part of growing up. And with speech comes questions. I remember the questions of our two children, particularly one of the two children, when they were younger. Usually questions that began with the word, why? So you would be explaining just the very basics of, I wouldn't mention the child's name, but I think you can guess which one it was. Darling, one and one must equal two. Why? I don't know, it just does, right? One and one equals two. Why? No. Darling, please don't touch that. It will hurt you if you touch that. Why? Do you mind leaving Daddy alone? He's doing something important at the moment. Why? Mummy's a little bit cross with Daddy at the moment for doing that important thing wrongly. Why? So many why questions that sometimes you feel like, well, I did turn around on many occasions and say, look, can't you just work out the answer for yourself? The answer is obvious. And then there was the day when the gas heater in the lounge was making a funny noise. Why? Actually, that one didn't have an obvious answer, I have to admit. When we turned on the gas heater, it made a scratching noise that seemed to get more frantic. And when it went off, it was quiet. And it took us quite a while to realise what the source of that noise was. It was actually the children's missing hamster, who had made a nest behind the heater and was hiding there, which was strange because we told the kids the hamster had actually gone to heaven. Sometimes we get asked a question and the answer seems, well, pretty obvious. The following questions and answers were apparently set by lawyers in courtrooms. Question. Now, Mrs. Brown, how was your first marriage terminated? Answer. By death. Question. And by whose death was it terminated? Different scene. Question. Was that the same nose you broke as a child? Another question. Doctor, how many autopsies have you performed on dead people? Fair enough. Question, do you have children or anything of that kind? Well, it is wonderful this morning to celebrate with Richard and Rebecca the dedication of Imogen, and to do so with their family and friend and our church family as well. As part of that dedication, we asked a few questions this morning. Questions that remind us that it takes a whole community to bring up a child. But there's one other question we're thinking about this morning. It's part of our series of thinking about what do we believe. So over the past few weeks, we thought, what do we believe about prayer? What do we believe about the Bible? And this morning, we're asking, what do we believe about baptism? Now, you might think the answer to this question is fairly obvious. And the answer you give may vary depending on your background. Some people might say, what do you believe of baptism? Well, they might say, well, I don't believe any of this God stuff, to be perfectly honest. So baptism is in there as well with all the rest of it. I'm not too interested. Others might say, when it comes to the question of baptism, well, I was brought up in a different church background, and baptism happens when you're a baby, and we might call it a christening. So I'm not too sure why you guys wait, but we'll give you some patience, we'll give you some grace on that one, and that's that. And others of us might say baptism is something you do when you're old enough to have made up your own mind about whether you want to follow Jesus or not. It's a vital part of following Jesus. So how do we make up our minds what we believe about baptism? Well, to help our thoughts, we're going to work our way through these short verses from Matthew chapter 3. First thing I'd like to say about baptism this morning is this. I believe that baptism is about following Jesus. Verse 13, Jesus came up from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. So the first thing we believe about baptism is that Jesus got baptized, which leads to a question, doesn't it? Why did Jesus get baptized? There were good reasons for Jesus not to get baptized. There was his cultural background. Jesus was brought up a Jew, and this would not have been the norm at that stage. Perhaps we could argue that, though others clearly were going out and getting baptized. Then we could say, well, there was Jesus' spiritual background. He is the Son of God. And surely part of the job description of being the Son of God is that you don't do wrong things or sins. Therefore, if Jesus has never done anything wrong or sinful, why would he need to be baptized? Jesus did not have to be baptized, yet Jesus chose to get baptized. So why did Jesus choose to get baptized? Verse 13 of Matthew is a significant verse about the role Jesus came to do. It's a significant verse because in getting baptized, it's another sense in which Jesus identifies with you and me. It is absolutely true to stand here this morning and say Jesus did not need to get baptized. He hadn't done anything wrong. But he chose to get baptized. Jesus chose to identify with all of us who've messed things up, who have sinned, have not done what God wants us to do. The reaction of John is fascinating at this point. You see, John is having none of this. He's like, Jesus, you cannot do this. Instead, he says to Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. And yet you come to me? Jesus knew that when he asked John to baptize him, he was identifying with us in a very unique way. It's part of his incarnation, to use a technical term. Part of the Son of God saying, I am also the Son of Man, the Son of Humans. I'm going to take on this form in order to rescue you. Jesus chose to get baptized, but he also chose to obey his heavenly Father. Going to the waters of baptism was something that his heavenly Father wanted Jesus to do. Therefore, Jesus models for us obedience and righteousness. Righteousness is just a technical term for that right way, the God way of living. Now, this morning, Imogen was really good for us this morning. And as she sat there, sleeping actually, looking very cute and baby-like, it's hard to imagine a better picture of innocence. Babies and young children do have a certain innocence about them. And yet, as we grow older, we don't stay all that cute or innocent for long. Something changes, doesn't it? A few weeks ago, as many of us here know, our Andrew got baptized. Many of us there to celebrate the occasion. But I have a confession for you this morning. They didn't ask me at Wycliffe Church, so I didn't tell them. But actually, our Andrew had been baptized before, and by full immersion. It actually occurred on a family trip to Woburn Safari Park. It was a trip that had started with a sense of excitement when we'd arrived at the payment bit, and Anna had rolled down her window to pay, and the payment box window had slammed shut only shortly, very quickly afterwards, for one of the wild animals from Woburn Safari Park to run past, heading out of Woburn Safari Park. Immediately in the back, there was the question, why? To which there's no answer. It's the nearest town to Woburn Safari Park is Luton. I've got no idea why a wild animal would run off to Luton, but there we go. we managed to go around Woburn Safari Park, saw the remaining wild animals, and got to the fun play area, which had a large pond. Walking past the pond, there was Anna in front, Hannah and Andrew behind, and the next thing, Andrew has been pushed into the water and went under. I don't think Hannah asked him, "Do you believe in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?" And even if she had asked him that, I'm not sure Andrew's answer could be printable, never mind repeated in church. I think we may still have the tiger suit and matching underwear that we hastily purchased from the gift shop. Andrew was much younger, much smaller at that point, we have to add. I'm sure we've all done things that we know God would not want us to do. We call that not living right. And there is a lot in the news day by day about people like us not living right. We can take our pick, can't we? Family breakdowns, angry words and angry people, conflicts of all sorts, the destruction of our planet. Talking about the environment, because it's a big issue at the moment, I was in McDonald's, was it last week? I may have treated Anne last week. I'm not sure. By the way, she's not away because I treated her to McDonald's. She's away in a minister spouses conference, and she sent me a message saying I'm really having a good time. I don't think she was being sarcastic. Anyway, I was at McDonald's and I ordered a chocolate milkshake. Now, if you've been in McDonald's recently, you'll know it's trying to be less environmentally damaging, so it comes with a cardboard straw. Oh, boys, it's really difficult to drink a chocolate milkshake with a cardboard straw. It's really, really difficult. And clearly, according to a little search online, I'm not the only one struggling with this. But how do you do the right thing and not the wrong thing when it comes to straws? Here's a little clip that I came across that is called McDonald's Paper Straw Hacks. So can we see a little bit of that, if that's okay?
I did a video last week, and since pretty much everyone I've ever spoke to wants more. I did a poll on Instagram and Facebook stories. It hit 93% of yes. It's happening. It's return of the Mac. Donald's straws. I've got more hacks. I've been thinking all week. So many of you have been asking, can I do this profession? Can I do that?
No.
Part two, McDonald's straw hacks. Right, first up, soap dispenser from the bathroom. I know what you're thinking. This is minging. It won't work. You're wrong. Take that out.
Right.
Oh, where
right,
she
right, here
is.
We go. There she blows. There you go. Everyone's got one of them at home. You know, give it a little rinse. That's perfect, that. Not built for speed, that one. But it is going to work, right? Got another one for you. Obviously, the plastic ones, the main problem is the environment. You know, we need something that's not going to damage the planet. It's going to ruin the sea. It's going to kill animals. I've got the perfect one. This is ideal, especially for, like, you know, the vegans, the vegetarians. They're going to be all over this. This one's for you. This is perfect, right? You've got a fine one with a good stem. Right, get that. That's not working.
Do you want your milkshake tasting of spring onions?
That one didn't work. But it's fine. I've got another one.
That's a no-go.
It's along the same lines. Bit of bamboo. Bit of bamboo. Who hasn't got that in their garden? That's better than a plastic straw. Because it's not flimsy. It's not...
Nice.
It's going nowhere. It's environmentally friendly. We're not damaging the planet with that.
Bamboo,
that's,
man.
That's, you know, biodegradable. Next up, maybe you're a gardener. Maybe you like, you know, it's summer. Maybe you like working on plants. Do you really need that hose to be as long as what it is?
No.
Why not just crop a little bit off? Just a little bit, straight in there.
Did you cut that off the hose pipe?
Yes, I did. That's fluid. That's what bends. I've brought a few, and I'm going to drop them off inside when I'm done here. You know, people can have them. They're thinking of others. Right, you're in the house. You know, you've got a bit of a squeaky door. The fridge is making that when you open it. What is it you're going to need? You're going to need a little bit of WD-40. Or maybe you've got a keyboard that needs a little bit of air squirting out. Either or. They both come with this handy little straw, don't they, on the side? Look at that. Now, this is going to take a while.
funniest straw I've ever seen.
That is working, but, you know, maybe this can be a diet option. It's going to make it last longer, if nothing else.
It'll melt before you drink it.
It's summertime. You're going to probably be, you know, taking the kids down to the local swimming pool. You might be going away on holiday somewhere exotic. Wherever you're going, you're going to need some of these.
Okay, shall we stop there? I feel a bit sorry for Dan, who puts these clips together for me. I send them to him, I should say, and he must think, how on earth is that going to fit in? I'm sure there are many others thinking that in the church this morning as well. But at least you can say you learned something useful in church this morning. What do you do when you make a mess? Now, if you're the parents of a young baby, you'll say, well, making a mess is all part of the job, isn't it? Not you to make the mess, the baby usually makes the mess. And you have to do a lot of cleaning up. One of the key ingredients, environmentally friendly, will be water. Parents of new babies know that water is an essential product in terms of the cleaning process. It seems that with a new baby, the washing machine is on a lot. Then there's the bottle sterilizers. There's always some mess to be cleaning up. Now, as we get older, the causes of the mess, we hope, will change. But the need to clean up doesn't go away. Jesus is baptized, and Jesus goes under the water, a symbol of cleansing, and of course his future death. And then Jesus comes back up, which is really good because the story would be very different if he didn't. Jesus comes back up, and at that moment, something significant from heaven happens. The Spirit of God, we're told, descends like a dove, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, with him I am well pleased." If you are the parent of a child, however old that child is, whether it's Imogen's age or adult age or whatever, you'll know that children often pick up characteristics from their parents. It may be physical traits. I'm sure Richard and Rebecca have heard family and friends telling them how much Imogen looks like one of them. It may be personality traits. When one of our children misbehaves at home, when they were younger, certainly. One of us adults would usually mutter in a very immature way, it must be said, "You're just like your father, mother. Delete as appropriate." Jesus's father, Jesus's dad, has now just, publicly declared, "This is my son. This is his son who has been baptized here." Well, what do we believe about baptism? To be baptized is to follow Jesus. It's got to be a faith that you own. Just as we hope and pray Imogen will grow up in this church or grow up in a Christian church, we pray that she will come to own the Christian faith for herself. That she won't say it's just something my mom does or my dad does. It's something I own when she's ready. Have we this morning recognized who Jesus is? Is this a faith this morning that you can say, well, I own that faith. I've decided to follow Jesus. This is the faith that I belong to. To be baptized, you need to want to be cleaned up. To be baptized, then, is to recognize the mess that we're in. This is far more than looking at the news and feeling downhearted about things. This is about recognizing our personal involvement in the mess that we're in and recognizing the solution to that mess. To follow Jesus and to ask for his forgiveness. To be baptized, you have to want to follow Jesus. Jesus will never force you on a journey you don't want to take. Jesus will ask you to follow him. And when you follow him, he'll lead you to be baptized. And life will never be the same again. I wonder this morning if you've had that desire or taken that decision to truly follow Jesus. I'm just about done in the talking stuff. And if you think, well, you know, everything you've said this morning, Keith, to be quite honest, is a little bit confusing and complex, then let me end you then with a very simple story of how Jesus called his first disciples. According to the record we've got in the New Testament, Jesus knew who he was. But those people who were about to be called to be his first disciples, they didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't know much about him. According to that account, Jesus knew what lay ahead. He had a real sense of purpose to his life, a real knowledge of how God was going to use them and how it would end with his death and resurrection. Those first disciples had no idea. Jesus knew it would get difficult and complex and really tough. It's fair to say those he called did not. All Jesus said to them was that simple invitation, come, follow me. And knowing as little as they did. Jesus still says to me and to you this morning, come, follow me. It doesn't matter that you don't know all the answers or even part of the answers. It's a simple statement of trust and faith to come and follow Jesus. Shall we pray? And I'm going to hand back to Ruth and our musicians this morning. Lord Jesus, it was a short Bible reading this morning about your baptism, but I pray you may have spoken to each of us. And is there something in here about us needing to trust you and follow you? Is there something in here about us needing to be forgiven, to be cleansed for those mistakes and messes we've made? Is there something here about us going on the next step of our journey of faith, of perhaps exploring getting baptized for ourselves? Whatever our age, whatever our stage, Lord Jesus, may your Spirit speak to us and draw us closer to you as your followers. So continue to speak, Lord, we ask today. Amen.